Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Kristen Kermel.
And we are going to be covering Severance Season 1, Episode 8, What's for Dinner?
What is for dinner? Oh, yeah, that's just that hypothetical question that Irving likes to ask. What's for dinner? What's for breakfast? What's for any meal? Yeah, that. We have our usual disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing. There will be spoilers for this show. We are getting to the end of Season 1 of Severance. Obviously, you should be caught up by now because things are getting interesting. And we are having something to drink. This was your idea, yes?
Yes, yeah, so Shirley Temple.
But in a fancy glass because it's all dressed up to look pretty like Lumen would want it. Or care. Or whatever. So yeah, let's get going.
So we see Irv's Audi for the first time. Mm-hmm. We've seen everyone's Audi except for Irv and Helly's at this point. Now we're getting to see Irv's.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, no, we've seen Helly's Audi when she had the procedure.
Oh, right.
But either way.
Yes. In real time, we have not seen either of their Audis. And so we're getting to see Irv's.
And he is reading with his dog, and we get to see his apartment, which is just completely bombarded with a ton of paintings that he has done of this one particular scene of just a long, dark hallway with an elevator at the end with the arrow going down.
And it's red. And it is... It's interesting because he is clearly an artist and he likes to play and like punk. He's playing Ace of Spades when he's painting, and it's punk and it's very unlike what we have seen. He's very straight laced as an innie. He is very not that as an outie. And so
both of them appreciate art.
Yes.
And I think that's something that has translated.
Yes.
So he goes into work. So we hear that part of the innie's plan to make everything work is for them to finish the quarter strong and have Helly finish up refining her file. So she does that. Everyone was like really concerned, but she did. Milchick and Cobell are watching anxiously because a lot's writing for Cobell with the whole board thing hanging over her head and the whole reintegration thing. The board has told her, you really need to focus on your quarter goals.
And, yeah, instead of this other shit.
And she's just like, oh no, Helly's going to do it. And I want Mark to have another wellness
and
meeting.
And he questions that. He's kind of like, are you sure? And she's kind of like, oh, you know, she makes this kind of threatening, Keir really wants you to make this happen wellness thing to Milchick. And he's kind of like, okay. And he's clearly disgruntled, and he's disgruntled in many ways. So you get the sense that there is more going on under the surface.
Helly refines her file, and they're going to be having a waffle party for the end of the quarter, which would be specifically for Mark, according to Cobell. However, Mark is like, no, Dylan.
No, what she says is that Mark can pick, and he picks Dylan, and then she's like, you can pick, you know, anyone, including yourself, but anyone but Dylan. And he's like, but I want Dylan. I think Dylan deserves it. And she's like, okay, fine. Oh, and you're having a wellness check. And he's kind of like, all right, why?
And after what we found out in the last episode with Miss Casey and Gemma being one and the same,
mm-hmm.
we can only assume, and it is almost confirmed by what we see next, of Cobell snooping on Miss Casey and Mark's wellness session.
Just to everybody.
But particularly on this wellness check, because her and Milchick are talking about it, and Milchick's like, you know that they don't remember each other, and that's a good sign, and it shows that everything's working properly.
Yeah, but what she sees in this, and what we all see in it, is that there's clearly some sort of connection between Mark and really everybody else, but specifically with Miss Casey, because you know Miss Casey kind of reaches out to him because she immediately prior to this wellness session has been told that she's been fired, and from her position, and Mark's like, hey, you know, maybe we can get a bat for you. Maybe we can save your job, whatever. Because one of the things she mentions, Miss Casey mentions, is like, I've only been alive for 107 hours or something like that. And the longest continuous time that I've been alive was when I was in MDR looking over the shoulder of Helly. And that was my favorite time because I was like conscious for a long time. And she's like, you know, you're a really nice person. And she means it genuinely, not just reading through the list of attributes, which she also does in this session because she's supposed to. But it's clear that there's some sort of emotional feeling between the two of them. And Miss Casey seems very, very sad to be leaving her job.
And Cabell tells Milchick, just take her to the testing floor. A testing floor which we have never seen before. And we see that when Milchick takes Miss Casey to the doorway, it is the long, dark hallway that Irv has been painting. Why that's happened? I don't know.
There's an elevator going down, so it's going down to another severed floor, apparently. But you know, the severed floors aren't even supposed to know there are other severed floors. So everybody is severed in so many ways.
Mark tells the office about Miss Casey.
They're all kind of like, "Hey, maybe I could help."
Milchick comes in and they are having a pre-waffle party egg bar social.
This is hilarious. It's like different kinds of deviled eggs.
Very specific.
Very specific. And according to Dylan, like, no, this is the best, you know, this is the best food you get. It's very coveted.
And he says it's like coveted as shit or something. It's funny.
Or as fuck, maybe.
Yeah, probably.
I love Dylan. Love Dylan.
Dylan gets a special prize. We later find out it's a lot like Mark's thing that he has on his desk, which is like a weird, not plexiglass, but like some
It's
kind of
like,
cube with a print, a 3D print inside of, in Mark's case, it's his face. In Dylan's case, we find out later that it's the picture of the whole office.
of their team.
And Helly confirms with Dylan that it's okay that he's staying behind, and he's like, no, you guys go. And so anyway, Cobell goes back to her office, and Natalie, the head of marketing or PR or something.
Whatever she is connected to the board via the Borg, her earpiece. And she basically is like, what is this? And she shows Cobell, supervisor, the pictures of Helly hanging herself in the elevator. And they're like, you didn't report this. And supervisor is like, who told on me? Email check.
And also, you have been getting close to Mark's sister on the outside. Like, that's not okay.
No, you're being suspended.
I'm sorry, but like the fact that Cobell getting close to Mark's sister is bad enough. Why aren't they also punishing her from getting all in Mark's fucking business?
Like going into his house and stuff. That, I
That's
mean,
weird as
there's a
shit.
lot of crazy going on, but I think they figure like it's a closed system if she's just doing it to someone else who is a Lumen employee. But if she's going outside of their Lumen parameters, like that's, you know,
Yeah,
inappropriate.
you helped her learn how to nurse her baby. That's weird.
But she does it
During work
for creepy.
hours.
Yeah, but she does it for creepy reasons. And they're right about that. So,
Cobell gets pissed off, tries to explain herself.
fuck you, Natalie.
Yeah, and she wants to explain to the board that night because that was the plan. She was going to be presenting to the board about her findings about the reintegration stuff. However, that's not gonna fucking happen.
Because
So,
she's been suspended.
fired.
Only people
And
that suspended
they said suspended, then she ends the sentence with fired. So there you go. Meanwhile, back at the party, Irv's reading about the Kier Bible and smashes a deviled egg in it. That's fun.
It's very unlike the Irving we've seen up to
Oh,
this point.
he's had about enough. Mark and Helly talk about their outies and what they could be. There's some flirty tension about them caring for each other. It's cute. If we didn't know he was married on the outside. But this, what I think that we're supposed to see is these two, the innie and outie, as two completely separate people, and they have separate love lives and all that stuff, but it's
Separate
still the
people.
same body, unfortunately.
Well, right, and they both talk about, you know, maybe you were married, maybe to other people, you know, and that kind of thing. Milchick, we see him walking supervisedly to the door with her a box of her stuff. He sends her out, and she has to go out the stairs, not the elevator. So she has to like hike upstairs from the severed floor. They find they're telling each other, this is Irving and Helly and Mark, because they're the three that are going to have an opportunity to actually be somewhat integrated, or they believe to be integrated, if Dylan gets it all done. So they all are like, all right, so we need to find someone to trust and tell them everything, and do it as quickly as possible, because we don't know how long we're going to be able to do it. So they're all kind of like piled into this little space, and they're talking about what's going on. And Mark pulls out his brother-in-law's book that he reads from, much like scripture. Again, they take written word a little too literally.
I think it's because it's the only thing they have.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
other than work, what else are they doing down
Well,
there?
right. It seems a lot more tangible because it's physical, right? It's a physical something as opposed to this intellectual hell they're living in. So as they go to leave, Irving's like, well, let's find out what's for dinner.
Helly kisses Mark before she leaves. It's
Because
cute.
people like, you know, we could die, we could not come back, who knows?
But she also is like, well, and also maybe in case we do.
Yeah, right. And so like she's taking some agency, she's making choices. Milchick shows up in MDR to, I guess, escort Dylan to his waffle party, because I gather it's a private thing. We have not really understood. I did not understand what a waffle party was. But we get to see what a waffle party is, because Dylan, who's in the bathroom trying to memorize what he's supposed to be doing in the security thing later, is going to be escorted to Keir's house as part of his reward.
And the in
In the
perpetuity.
perpetuity, yeah, the perpetuity wing. This all gets intercut with things that are happening on the outside. So we start to see that the Lumen building was being set up for an event, which I guess is this gala that had been referenced by the board. Dylan eats his waffle dinner, and then there's this super weird sequence, because there are intercut other things that I think we'll probably have to deal with those as their own timeline, maybe.
No,
Or
let's just focus on the weird fucking waffle sex
yeah,
party
the waffle sex party.
where Dylan it gets to sit on Keir's bed, which they weren't allowed to even touch when they went to the perpetuity wing in the past. But he's allowed to sit on Keir's bed, puts on a mask of
Of Kier
Keir.
is creepy.
There's a whip with the nine tenets or
Verses, yeah.
whatever.
Like
And there are like
to
four.
flagellate yourself with.
There are four different people that come in. Like, I think three are women, one is ma a man, maybe they're
Right,
Dan.
right. The
And
man has the goat or ram's head
it
on.
doesn't matter, Mom. I don't
I think
click
that
in.
the thing for us as non people of this universe is typically like that goat-headed man is like a devil symbol or devil worship kind of thing
Great.
in the outside world.
Anyway, so there are like these four people. They come in, they have masks on, and they're very scantily clad. And what's implied is orgy.
Yep.
However, Dylan immediately gets out of there and
Dylan
goes
runs
straight to the
away.
security wing.
Yep.
And he gets in, he is doing all of his stuff, and he turns on the override. Pause on that.
Yep.
That's the end of the episode, but we will talk about the other people who are already out in their outie parts.
Yeah, let's
Because
talk about their outies.
their Audi counterparts is what I
Yeah, there we
meant.
go. Their outie counterparts. So, the one we see the least early on is Helly, but we do eventually see that she's getting dressed in some fancy dress. We do see some of Irving setting up to paint again, and he starts painting again.
Seems to be the only thing he ever does, but
Yeah, he seems to have some obsession thing going on.
Mark is a little bit more active.
Right. So, and the other person we hadn't seen, who is not a severed person, but it's the supervisor lady who does what you do when you get fired, which is have a screaming fit in the car on the way home.
Sure.
She gets home, and Mark knocks on her door, like, "Hey, I'm going to my sister and brother-in-law's party. They asked if you were going to go," and she's like, "Oh, I'm not feeling up to it. I'll drive myself." And then she's like, "I'll drive myself separately." And Mark, even his outie, notices that she's acting weird. But he's not suddenly his innie yet. So who do you want to talk about? Do you want to do an order? Because Irving's the shortest.
Well, there's nothing really left other than Mark. It mentions to Cobell, like at the party, he gets to the party. He mentions to his sister, I'm gonna have a big life change. Cobell hears that and goes up to him later. Is just like, hey, what's that big life change you're talking about that I briefly overheard? And Mark's like, oh, I'm thinking of leaving my job. And she's just like, yes, do it, Mark, get out of there. She immediately has a change of heart next episode. Do not get used to this version of
Not
Cobell.
at all.
But she's just like, yeah, fuck it, do it. And she gives him a big hug. And that's when Dylan flips the switch. He.
Has to reach really, really far to get all the switches and stuff.
Dylan does, yes. And he has to hold that for however
Ever.
long he does it, an hour at least. And everyone switches into their innie persona.
And that's the end of the episode, which I was actually, my mind was going to the next episode already, and I'm glad you
Yeah,
brought it
that's why I
back.
stopped you.
Thank you. So, best parts.
The tension with Miss Casey, now that we know, like, I'm glad that we didn't just leave that hanging. We do have some kind of follow through in this episode, and especially next episode. Then Cobell getting fired, love that.
Oh,
The fact
yeah.
that she didn't report that Helly was nearly killed,
Yeah, I
how
mean
did
that's
that happen?
crazy.
There's security for it footage.
Yeah, I mean she's got it. Well, she had that security guy up in her pocket, so
Yeah.
yeah.
And Helly kissing Mark, I think it is cute. I think their flirty banter is cute. And I like that they have some tension. It's
Yeah.
cute.
A firing supervisor, my favorite part, because of course her reaction is so like insane because she's so all in. I love the MDR plan. I think that their plan is really good. I especially love Dylan in this episode.
Oh, yeah, Dylan.
I love MDR generally. I do like Hallie because she has so much agency in this. And I remember, like on first watch, I really thought her character, I could identify with her a lot. Like I'm not putting up with shit, you know. Like she takes action all the time, and sometimes it's impulsive, sometimes it seems maybe stupid, but. I like that she does it because, you know, it's what changes things. It's what has kind of implemented or been a catalyst for everything that's been going on that we've seen. So it's kind of cool. What were your worst parts?
Cobell being creepy about Mark and Miss Casey, like, girl. I understand the theory that since they have two people who know each other from the outside in the same building, in the same severed situation, that they want to experiment with the fact, hey, maybe they'll recognize each other, maybe they won't. However, after like the first meeting, you should immediately understand that they don't recognize each other. I think that I understand she's just trying to see like if there are any effects on like just knowing each other like subconsciously, but that not really.
Well, but there are some. And so part of what I noted about this is like she has almost this kind of euphoric, and now that you've talked about voyeuristic, look on her face when she's watching them. She's just very into in a voyeuristic
It's
way
like
the
her
two of
favorite
them,
reality show.
yeah, the two of them possibly recognizing each other, and you know, even the little connections we get to see, like she's very, very into it, in a very sick kind of way.
And I will say it's that, all right, well, now that you said it's sick, I don't know if I should say this, but the fact, like, if we had seen more of Miss Casey in this show, and if she was in more of a Helly position, I think, like, at least in the Severance floor, I would absolutely be that person being like, oh, do they recognize each other? Do they whatever? I would look for every like minute thing. But I think what the writers have done really well in this season and in the show is not focusing, they are separate people from who their outies are. And so they aren't, they are frowning upon that kind of behavior because it what am I trying to say?
I don't know.
Great. I don't really know where I'm going with this, but I like that they keep that from us in a way. I like that they don't have them interact that often. And
Oh yeah,
so.
no. I think that that's very deliberate because you get the feeling that this is not experiment number one,
No, absolutely not.
and so that I think that's part of the reason with the supervisor like being. in charge of this version of, or this iteration of this experiment, it is incumbent upon her to keep things separate but keep everything monitored. But she just gets this kind of voyeuristic thing out of it that doesn't read normal.
No, she's weird.
Yeah, she's weird. And it's not simply like, hey, she's interested. It is like her whole being is tied to this in a way that is unnatural.
But again, I think what I was trying to get to is that I'm glad they keep them apart the way that they do so that we don't already have an inkling for that twist. And when the twist comes, it's obviously a shock. And because not only was Mark's wife dead in Audi world, she what?
Yeah, she died in a car wreck.
Yeah, she died. Like, that's it. She's dead. And so not only is she dead, but she's also on the severed floor. It would be one thing if she was dead and then just elsewhere, or fake dead and elsewhere. She's
Right.
fake dead and kidnapped and in the severed floor.
Well, and like some super secret severed
Yeah,
floor.
the extra super double secret probation severed floor.
Yeah, there's something really, really wrong going on there.
All right. Weird sex waffle party is weird sex and weird.
Yes.
I'm so sorry. Like, I guess I understand the aspect of it that is like, okay, well, we are going to tease you with sensations that you, as an innie, have never had before, like sex. And we don't know what your preference is, so here are options. And it's,
And
but.
we're gonna do it with these, and you get the sense that these are symbolic masks that have something to do with this Kier religion.
That's the weird Eyes Wide Shut
Yeah,
bullshit that I just don't
exactly. It's just fucking
understand.
weird.
It's just odd.
But and again, there's that voyeuristic element to it, isn't there? It's just,
But
yeah.
I think it's just another like way to keep it impersonal. I think that even though sex is one of the most
Shouldn't
personal
be. It
things
shouldn't
that
be
you can
impersonal.
do, I think that it's just another way for them to keep distance from the outside world. Because like if you aren't seeing the person's real face or like whatever, you are seeing their body and doing whatever, but it's just weird, man. It's weird. And Rickon in his fucking
Rickon's
book.
the brother-in-law, in case
Yeah.
you forget.
Not Rickon, Rickon.
I
Rickonoff.
didn't write him down, but yeah, he's creepy. So super vitally creepy. Milchick, he is so creepy.
Oh,
And
yeah.
that's not gonna get better. And that creepy dance thing, yee. What grade did you give this episode?
B
I gave
plus?
it an A minus.
Maybe it is an A
I
minus.
really think things are moving in this episode.
Yeah.
You're de you end this episode with, oh my God, we've got to see what happens, right? So I feel like, and as an episode, it's well constructed. It's not quite an A, but it is really, really good.
Yeah. Sorry that my thoughts were completely jumbled. I have
That's
no idea
okay.
what that
Hey,
was.
look, I thought we were going to roll right into the next episode, so clearly not. But we do have another episode in season one. It's the last episode of season one to cover. We hope that you join us and
Cheers.